Yeah. Really good young man. He always helps participate and does a lot of things. So when we do the Bass Pro indoor, outdoor days, he participates with that, which we are going to have the Bass Pro indoor, outdoor days along with the MONASP that's down at Branson Landing the weekend of March 22nd through 24th. So that's going to be a big day, too. So you see Barb's reaching out report. She's still busy doing all the programs that she does. I've talked to you guys before. This time I heard a report about the flu epidemic. We always hear about that this time of year. And Barb always teaches those kids about washing their hands all the time. So that's a great thing that she can do. Sandra Smart-Winiger, she has a couple of programs coming up. And it says Branson. She's working through the Branson Chamber of Commerce, but it's going to be at OTC Hollister. And one of them is digital marketing, and another one is making the most of your trade show booth. And those are going to be January the 28th. So if you know anyone that could benefit from that, let them know. So Tim Schnockenberg, who's our agronomy specialist, I kind of circled the dates. February 19th is the Taney County Livestock and Forage Conference in Forsyth. And I don't know when his pesticide applicator trainings are going to be, but they will be upcoming. So, oh, VITA. I was about to skip over that. VITA right here. I also posted them on our bulletin boards in the county courthouse as well. We have a site at OCAC that's going to be Monday and Tuesday, and we have a site here in Forsyth. Our office is just going to be packed full of volunteers. We had more volunteers that wanted to come to Forsyth than we had that would be over at OTC Hollister. So I just decided that we couldn't have a site in OTC Hollister this year. So we have probably about five volunteers that we're going to pack into that one little room in Forsyth. So our parking lot's going to be very busy over here in Forsyth.
There used to be one at, trying to think, next to that tea room. There used to be one. There is one in Branson, correct?
Yeah, that's OCAC. That's on 6th Street.
Located at?
What's that?
Where is it located at?
OCAC is off of 6th Street, so it's kind of, yeah, you know, it's downtown, yeah. Not too far from the library. So you have 2 days there. So they do have plenty of options to go there on the west side of the county. And so next year we are already making plans about how we can get more volunteers and possibly more sites and even more sites on the eastern side as well, because I always worry about people on the eastern side and transportation and how they can get to these sites. So, but I'm glad that we have the program and that it's going to be here. And of course, we do have sites in Stone County as well. There's the site at OCAC in Branson West, and there's also the site in Galena at the library. So we start taking appointments this Wednesday, and then we start doing taxes at the end of this month.
If I had looked at your flyer, I wouldn't have asked you the question. I see that.
Hey, that's okay. I'm getting used to saying this.
An average gross income of no greater than $57,000.
That's correct. And so I don't know anything about the taxes. So we have tax coordinators. We have Jody Shoemaker, who is the tax coordinator here, or the site coordinator here in Taney County. And we have Luana Lavelle Fullerton, who's the tax coordinator in Stone County.
I'm sure you've got these flyers throughout the county. Has the paper been given a copy of one?
Yes. And I've even posted on social media, and so we've been trying to get it out as much as we can. So we put flyers up in places that we can. So we usually do fill up these sites probably in about March. And we had our training last week, and we've invited the AARP volunteers to come to our training. And they were really positive about our training. They said it's the best training that they've been to the whole time they've been to the training. So they even have a site on Saturdays. So if people can't make it to our sites, we can at least let them know that AARP does taxes for anyone, whether they're an AARP member or not. Any questions?
That's good.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Court orders.
Good morning. This morning I've got first set is personal property paid abatements, personal property refunds, also known. Abatement numbers 300274 through 300279. On 300274, taxpayer stated they did not own the vehicle in January of 2018. 275 was incorrect assessed vehicle, office error. 276 and 277 is same except for the years. One's 2015, one's 2016, and the vehicle did not auto depreciate. 278, taxpayer paid for the vehicle in 2018, but used the vehicle for a trade-in on another one in December 2017. And 279, vehicle was assessed for commercial use. It should have been assessed for agricultural use.
Question on these that auto depreciate, did the customer come in and order, are those what the clerk found due to being marked to not depreciate? Did the customer come in and ask for the refund, or is that?
I couldn't tell you for sure on this particular one. Last week those were found by our clerk. My guess is this one was probably by the taxpayer. Something else probably found. As a general rule, it's going to be a part of the time. Of course, I'm not out for you.
Can we do the 2015?
I got a refund. I checked on that this morning and it wasn't paid until 2017, so I think it makes it okay to do it for
15.
Yeah, I had checked on that. That it creates
so
a
it goes when it's paid. Well, legally,
the statute goes before it was paid, which they need to work on that. I looked that up before, and it needs to be worked on because you're not charged within 15, so it creates a bookkeeping issue.
So the statute says you can only go back 3 years, but 3 years when it was paid, not when 3 years paid. When it was due.
And when you're finding errors on your own, it's an issue that needs to be looked at. Supposed to do your year-end settlement, you're not charged with any 15s.
Right.
But they're totaled together as 15 through 18 will be totaled on the report that goes to the director. And one total.
Do you guys have any questions on them? Or? I mean, you guys.
I don't.
No. Move to approve Exhibit A, dated 1/14/2019.
Second.
No second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried.
Next set is erroneous assessments of real estate, and all of these properties are exempt due to the fact that they are owned by the City of Hollister.
Exhibit B, move to approve Exhibit B of January 14, 2019.
Second.
May I make a
comment? Yes, sir.
I think this is the same issue that we had last week, and I didn't even
I saw it, I looked at it, but it's the city of Hollister's name. And
the date that it was transferred was...
I'm all for it to do it, and don't take it wrong. I just wanted you to be aware that it was. I didn't even know it until I looked this morning to review these, that it's almost identical to the one you...
Well, this is a deed date. This for
12/14 or 12/16,
isn't it?
Of 2016.
That's what I was looking at, the sales letter.
Same here.
Pardon?
Same here. So even if it was just transferred on...
So it should have been exempt on January 1st.
Yeah.
Is that what you looked at?
I'm confused, I guess.
Well...
Because I thought on the one, which I called the state to see if that was right, which is why we've been there. But on the last week, I understood the vote was when they acquired the property.
When did you think Hollister acquired that property then?
Well, I was thinking it's December 16th or 17th.
Of what year?
Of 18. I guess sale order, if you're saying it's where the company received it before Hollister received it. It's in Hollister sale order.
So you don't have with this information of when Hollister acquired
If you... Well, I may be mistaken. I thought these happened in December.
Here's something that says a date acquired, ACQ, of 12/13 of 17.
Okay,
is what I'm going off of.
I may be all way off. I don't know why.
I think it was just meant. It looks to me like it was missed. It had been a clerical error. It should have been exempt for 18. That's the way I looked at it. I don't. Did you see something different?
Yeah. I was a P-Val on the program.
The what?
Previous values.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm just not
Previous values. And I'm certainly good at approving it.
There was the second and third ones were 18. The first one was 17, but the other two were according to the...
24th of 18, is that what you see?
I'm showing 6/29 of 18. So June 29th. You don't know who owned these before?
What was that, Brad?
So we don't know who owned these before?
One of them was the MRC...
Capital Investments in Stillwater,
I think that was the first one, and that was done in 17. It would be the other two behind it.
That was started in 17.
Yeah, the other two were June 29th of 18.
I called it. I came in the day, but I called the State Tax Commission. My field rep today about the issue of, you know, it changes hands for a year. And his thought is that it can happen any time up, like we've talked about before. And they even had a discussion in Jeff City about a week ago. City, county, or the state purchases the property any time up to December 31st, and then the taxes are
abated
for the whole year.
So if I sell a piece of property to a government entity on December 31st, I don't have to pay property tax on that the entire time that I own it?
That's the way we've done it for years.
If that government entity is going to do diligence at the closing of that, they will withhold the taxes up to that date.
Yeah.
I don't have an argument about what you do. We've always done it that way. And